Hey everyone, and welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast Minisode number 2, an episode where we don't talk about a Toonami program, but instead something else. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're going to be talking primarily about two topics. First of all, we're going to, as discussed last week, talk about the Toonmaker animation slash live action hybrid original American Sailor Moon show that was, you know, there's like a 2-minute music video and supposedly a 17-minute proof of concept slash pilot that exists, but no one has access to,
right?
Or those who do are not showing it to the public. And then we're also going to talk about some news from Sunrise regarding a new Gundam series they announced last Friday.
All right, let's kick things off then with a discussion of the Sailor Moon Toonmakers travesty.
Yeah, I really don't even know where to start with it. Like,
yeah,
you
it's
know,
just a strange relic.
Right. Before we recorded, I like read an article about, or, you know, more of a blog post about the history of it and all this stuff. And it's just, like, baffling to me that it exists in a lot of ways.
Well, and it was thought of before Sailor Moon was ever brought over to the United States. This is like, oh, there's a show in Japan, and let's adapt it to the United States instead.
Well, but not exactly, because they were discussing just dubbing it. And for some reason, the people that made this decided, no, that's too easy. That'll be too inexpensive. Instead, we have to make the whole damn thing from scratch and adapt it. And also, for reasons that are completely beyond my understanding, make it both live action and animated. Basically in the style of, like, Filmation animation, which is to say it doesn't look great.
Yeah, it looks pretty crappy. And it's just so weird, too. Like, when you watch the, 2 minutes of promotional footage?
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, is in very low quality, just, like, bootleg of a bootleg.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's someone filming a, like, screen at a convention that's showing it.
Yeah.
And
when you watch it, it also just shows that, like, how little of Sailor Moon is intact. Like, basically the only thing it takes over is, like, okay, 5 girls and they wear the Sailor Scout uniforms, and I guess they are also in school. It's like,
well,
that's
yeah
it.
and they have a cat named Luna, who in this case is white instead of black for some reason, and
fluffy.
Also Darien is apparently in it. He's just not in the music video, but he was in the pilot, supposedly. Which,
well, but they also are, like, predominantly in space and flying around on these these, like, windsurfing.
Yeah, right.
Boats.
Space windsurfing. It's kind of like Power Rangers in space, but with big sails on their fucking surfboards.
Because they're sailors, get it?
I guess. Like, I can't really fathom any reason other than that. That they would do that. It's super weird. It's just this thing where, I mean, legitimately, I just don't know what to say about it other than, you know, I suppose the only rationale I can think of for creating an entirely new thing like this, or not even that, but like the only rationale I can think of for combining live action and animation in this kind of way is like just this weird budget gamesmanship of like, well, you know, it'd be a waste of money to animate stuff that we could just shoot live action really simply and cheaply, like girls in a school or whatever. Like, that shit's easy. But, you know, it would be much more expensive to do live action versions of girls fucking flying around on surfboards in space. So we'll just animate the part that'll be expensive to shoot live action, and shoot live action the part that doesn't need to be animated to exist. That's really the only thing that I can think of outside of, you know, I guess maybe there's some kind of element of fantasy, like the animated stuff is kind of this fantasy aspect. I don't know. I'm probably thinking harder about it than I need to.
you know, right.
There's part of me that wants to justify it, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but...
Yeah. Well, it should also be noted that the live-action segments is just, like, in the video, is just, like, girls dancing around. Very, like, a 90s picture of diversity, kind of, like, everyone is completely different. And, you know, it's like, so Sailor Mercury's in a wheelchair, and you know, Sailor Moon is generic blonde girl, and then there's, like... I don't know, whatever. It's just like everyone's just dancing around looking stupid.
Yeah, right. And I mean, that's, I would,
and then cutting between that and the Sailor Scouts, like the flying around animated, yeah, Sailor Scouts flying around,
it's really bizarre. And like,
I kind of wish other shows had that though. Like, what could you imagine other cartoons having live action segments?
I would really love to see the
He-Man.
Well, He-Man would just be, yeah, no, He-Man would be interesting, but I think it would be much more funny if different anime were adapted in this manner. Like, imagine the Dragon Ball Z live action / animated hybrid.
They would all, like, judging by like how well they understood Sailor Moon, I'd imagine they would, it'd be like five guys who would all transform into dragons and fly through space.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that, you know, and part of the reason for doing this too, from what I understand, is because, you know, Power Rangers was super huge at the time, and the company who had a hand in this also had a hand in Power Rangers.
Saban.
Well, no, they were pitching to Saban. It was actually Toon Makers were a separate entity, and they were involved with somebody else. I think it's Renaissance something. I'll probably correct that later, but effectively they were pitching to Saban and Bandai, and the point is that I think that part of the idea for live action / animation comes from the Power Rangers, like, splicing together American shot footage and existing stock footage.
Yeah.
But in, like, a different, bizarre way. But at the same time, I feel like that probably influenced the... I mean, it influenced the look of it, too. Like, it looks 90s as fuck.
Yeah.
The live-action stuff in particular, like, it looks like a toy commercial. Like, I really don't know how else to describe it. It looks like a My Little Pony commercial from the 90s.
It's just, you know, it's just a bizarre piece of the Sailor Moon in English history, I guess.
Yeah, right. Because, you know, it wasn't enough that we have this stupid, like, Deke dub / Cloverway dub / what, like, Viz Media dub, I think, is the current one.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, way more difficult than it should be to find the Deke version. And then we also have, on top of all that stupid garbage, we have this bizarre relic of a show that never was, which I would, I mean, this is such an obvious thing to say, but God, I would love to see that pilot. Just,
yeah,
just to say that I've seen it.
Yeah, that would be nice. I don't know why the people are holding on to it as if it's ever going to be a thing.
I very much doubt that it's, like, some guy with it locked up in a vault, and it's probably more a case of, like, there are about 15 people that have VHS copies in a basement filled with other shit. Like, I imagine it's in some archive or something.
I had read that it actually is basically kept in a vault by Toon Makers president and founder Rocky Solotov.
Okay.
But he just doesn't know... It's not really certain, like, where the rights, like,
oh,
where the rights,
yeah,
to it,
that makes sense,
belongs.
Yeah, because it never, so really, like, got made exactly. Really.
Yeah, and it's like, is it Toei? But
it was like a proof of concept. Sure. Yeah, that is actually interesting. Saban, that's like a weird legal quagmire that's not worth figuring out in order to release what's probably total garbage.
Yeah.
Oh man, the sad fate of lost media, lost trash that for some reason I have such a affinity for.
Oh man,
well,
what a bizarre situation. Well,
indeed.
You know what?
Switching gears a bit, Let's talk about something actually current for a change, which we never do.
Good.
Well, maybe. We don't know for sure yet. So last Friday, that was February 2nd, Sunrise announced the new Gundam series for 2018, which is Gundam Build Divers, presumably based on the fact that it's called Gundam Build Blank. It is a continuation of the Gundam Build Fighters anime and Gundam Build Fighters Try, which was the sequel to that. So I figured that we would just kind of outline that, and then I want to talk a little bit about what I'm hoping Gundam Build Divers does in terms of what the previous two series did, and I guess then we'll probably wrap it up.
So let's explain then. Build Fighters, Gundam Build Fighters was a Gundam series that's kind of like totally a different tone than any other Gundam show, and it's basically kind of like Gundam, for lack of a better term, Gundam fan service.
It's not like in a sexual sense. Gundam Yu-Gi-Oh. Like
it's Gundam what?
Kind of Gundam Yu-Gi-Oh in a way. Like the war is completely irrelevant in it. The whole series concept is that basically this is more or less the real world, except that there is this technology that allows Gundam model kits or Gunpla, because thank God we have a portmanteau for Gundam plastic model kit. And
if it's Japanese, there has to be a great weird English portmanteau.
Right. But effectively, the idea is that there is this technology that can make Gundam plastic model kits like move, so you can have them fight each other. And somehow the way that this works is that if you customize your model kit specifically, it's like better in the game of fighting each other, and they actually get physically damaged by the game itself as well. And also the other main difference between this and reality is that probably as a result of this, Gundam is the biggest thing fucking ever, and the only thing that exists apparently in the universe. Like, are Olympic level tournaments of Gunpla battlers from different countries coming together to compete in one huge tournament to determine who's the best in the world. Like, it's this absurd concept, but you know,
and of course that all makes for a show where you can have tons of Gundam cameos, tons of Mobile Suit cameos from all of the tons and tons of different series, plus like an excuse to have like all these weird different cameos and custom build Mobile Suits just fight each other in pretty good fights, and also of course to sell new model kits and re-release old ones.
Exactly. It's effectively
it is a very consumerist show, but
it's basically like a Sunbow cartoon from the 80s. Like it's effectively G.I. Joe or Transformers in that it transparently exists to sell model kits even more than other Gundam shows, which
even more than Gundam already does.
Yeah, which basically is what Gundam exists for in a lot of cases anyway. Like, there's no question about that whatsoever. That said, it's actually a pretty enjoyable show from my perspective. I mean, it's definitely a show that splits the fan base. It is not loved by everyone. And that's pretty understandable, really. Like, again, it's pretty mercenary.
Well, and it's not the usual, like, Gundam super depressing everybody dies plot lines.
Yeah, but also, like, simultaneously, it's not the Gundam with any point whatsoever plot line. Like, it's just, you know, there's this weird tension with Gundam sometimes between this is a story about war and it's like serious and about how war is terrible pretty much always. Simultaneously, we got to make sure that the war machines look kick ass because we're going to make models of them and sell them to you.
And the fighting is totally awesome.
Right. But still remember, war is bad. And so there's always this kind of weird tension with that with Gundam, and for me anyway, and Build Fighters basically removes that tension by saying, like, you know what, we're not even going to pretend, this is just about selling you fucking models. And I'm not sure, you know, I've always kind of not been sure about how I feel about that, but at the same time, like, it's just it's a fun show.
I think the fights are actually quite enjoyable to watch too. Like, they're pretty cool fights.
It depends. I mean, yes, certainly sometimes I distinctly remember at least a few fights in the first series where I was like, I just don't even like, I seem to remember the fight against the Sengoku Astre being pretty fucking annoying and weird.
Huh.
There's a lot of, like,
all of them pretty fondly.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird, like, hacks in the first season, for lack of a better word, where someone just kind of whips a super ability for their Gundam out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, my fucking Gundam can shoot lasers out of its swords for some reason. Like, and not, like, normal lasers, but, you know, like, lasers shaped like swords. Like, you have full health with the Master Sword in Zelda, and you're just throwing swords when you swing. Like, that kind of really bizarre stuff. But basically, like, I'm excited for there to be a new Build Fighters series, assuming that Build Divers is, like, it looks to be. We have, like, a preview kind of right now to base an opinion off of, and yep, it's
Gundam
not
Build Divers Prologue. You can find it on YouTube on the Gundam.info channel, subtitled in English.
Yeah, and it's obviously that's not a ton to go off of, and it's not super clear what a lot of the, like, idea is for the world, because it seems pretty different. we are going to, I guess, talk about spoilers, so if you care about that.
Spoilers for a 15-minute prologue to a series.
Yeah, right. But there is the interesting element that at least a few characters are just kind of like animal people.
Yeah.
Which
it's revealed that, like, the boss of the enemy team, because these two teams are fighting, is just like a cute-looking fox. It's like, what the fuck is happening? We kind of think it might be like a VR situation.
Yeah, that seems to be the common perception of it.
In which case it should have, like, I don't know, Ugandan knuckles in it or something.
Yeah, right.
for it to be accurate to real VR chat.
What I'm excited about with this series is that I feel like the first Gundam Build Fighters series was very self-referential to Gundam, and that makes sense. And the second one was too, of course. But the second one also kind of expanded that pool of reference to include super robot stuff. At least for one particular, you know, Gunpla in the series, which is very clearly based on super robot tropes. It's like three animals that combine into a big robot, and it has a transformation sequence that's straight out of Voltron, pretty much.
Right. It's basically a Megazord Voltron kind of situation.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it looks like, you know, obviously I'm not the only one who speculated this, but one of the mobile suits from this new series very much has the color scheme of, like, a Votom's mech. I don't really remember they're called. A scope dog, basically.
Scope dog. It's a red shoulder scope dog.
Yeah, right. And what I would love to see is, like, moving away from this totally self-referential stuff and more into kind of tips of the hat to other big anime series.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that, you know, one of the things about Gundam that I really like is that it created a whole subgenre of giant robot anime, you know, the real robot subgenre. So what I would love to see is something that is referential around that fact and sort of, you know, acknowledging its place in the history of this genre, both with what came before it and what it kind of spawned. I think that would be really cool. They're probably not going to do that realistically. Like,
yeah, beyond a small visual reference to Votan.
Which might not even be a visual reference. It might just be me hoping that it is.
It probably is. I don't know.
It probably is. It's pretty much the same color scheme with the exception of a red head. And the mobile suit the model's based on, you know, looks Votoms-ish.
The Grimoire.
Yeah, right. From Reconquista in G. Great name. Boy. But I don't know. I'm excited for it. I'm hoping that it hits the high points of Build Fighter Season 1, which I would say was the one that I prefer.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely like the best character-wise.
Right. And really, I'm just looking forward to some Iron-Blooded Orphans and Thunderbolt cameos, because
that'd be great.
I need to know that that those characters have some version of a life that's not awful and depressing.
Yeah, yeah. And Rumba Rawl better be in it again.
Yeah, right. Mr. Rawl better not have changed it one iota. Forever 35 years old, looking like a 50-year-old man. Yeah, well, next week we're going to be going over the Sailor Moon quote-unquote lost episodes of Sailor Moon R, which is kind of wrapping up the Nega Moon arc. We're in the middle of watching that right now, and it's, I think, just about to get to the stuff that I'm really interested in.
Yeah, it's a big chunk of episodes.
Yeah, it is. But we should be done with that, and we'll talk about that next week. And obviously, once again, for these mini-sodes, we're accepting listener submissions as far as topics to discuss. This week, that was somewhat preempted by the fact that there was a big announcement related to Gundam, which obviously I'm going to talk about. But if you'd like to submit a potential topic, we can be found at facebook.com/HBpod, on Twitter at HBpod, and you can email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com. And who knows? Maybe your submission will get picked.
It probably will.
But that'll be 2 weeks from now. Next week, again, we're doing Sailor Moon The Lost Episodes. And until then, I'm Michael Doak.
Lost World Sailor Moon. And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week.